A very good afternoon to you, everyone. And it's lovely to see smiling faces. And we ought to be smiling because we come to worship God. And that's a great opportunity for us to know Him and love Him, express our gratitude, and also tell Him that we love Him too. So do welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 34, just first three verses as we begin our worship together. Psalm 34, verses 1 to 3. This is what David says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. What an opportunity to exalt the name of our God as we worship him together. Let's sing our first hymn, which is Psalm, which is number 36 in the book, but it's projected. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. God in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for granting us another opportunity this afternoon to worship you. We realize that you're unique in your being, that you are the one who is the eternal God, not made by hands, not created by our own imagination, but you are the God of the Bible, God of the Scriptures. You are the Almighty God. You are the one who's most powerful being. And you are the one who's holy in his character. And we realize that you are the thrice holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And we realize when we think about that, that we see our own sin. We see that how sinful we are when we realize the purity of your being. And we realize we cannot come to you in our own strength, in our own ability, in our own good works, because they are like filthy rags before you. Lord, we come to you the only way which you have made it possible for us, that is, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, he is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the one who made it possible for us to come into your very presence. Oh Lord, we are truly thankful to you for allowing us to come. And we also realize that you are merciful God and that you are gracious God. You're the one who pardons sins. You're the one who created the whole of the universe, and you are unique in your being. There is no one like you. Lord, we worship you, and we realize that we need to worship you, and the whole world need to worship you. One day, it will realize their need to worship you, but that might be too late. But in the meantime, Lord, we pray that you will draw men, women, and children to the knowledge of yourself through your Son, that they might know that one day everyone will have to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether they are ordinary people like ourselves, or whether they are famous people, where they are well up in the political ladder, or even the kings and the queens, they will all have to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Lord, we ask that you will help them even now to draw them to yourself. They might bend the knee. They might come as sinners need to be forgiven. They might come in true repentance and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we commit them to you. We pray, Father, for anyone here this afternoon or listening it online and yet have not bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will convict them of their need to be forgiven. They need to be right with God. They need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that they might turn to him to be drawn near to you. And we ask for ourselves, Lord, that each one of us might realize in our own hearts that we need to be right and we need to be forgiven and we need to worship. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read Psalm 61. So if you have a Bible, it'd be good for us to turn together and read this small psalm together. And say to the choir master with string instruments of David. Talk about string instrument. We've got a new piano with a new string instrument. So we're doing well as we look at this word. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. So that's God's word and Psalm of David. We're going to sing about that psalm. And if you turn to your supplement, and it's number 9. O God, hear my calling and answer, I pray. No distance can silence the words that I say. No mountain, no ocean can hinder my prayer. When deep is my sorrow and dark my despair. So it's number 9 and it's projected as well. Thank you. What a longing this psalm, the Simrata had, when longed to be the day when be there in the presence of God forever. And what a joyful experience that would be. Let's look at some of the notices for the coming week. You would receive the copy of the link by email. And if you not have yet received it, there are some hard copies and you can pick one up on your way out. It's useful, very useful, because it not only tells us what's going on, but also tell us what to pray for. So please take one and use it as a prayer guide for the coming week. For the coming week, then, on Wednesday is Men's Fellowship, and encourage the men to come. And so that's on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, 4 to 8, opportunity again for Bible study and prayer together. That'll be led by Josh Harrison. So do please come, and it's in the building. Do come and join us here on Thursday. And then next Sunday, we have a very special event. That is, it's an opportunity for the international students to come, but also it's an opportunity for other people to come and to be invited, because it's going to be a gospel service. I'm trying to find the card. 5th of June, Harper's 10 International Service, and 5:30 afternoon service. Come and listen to Joe Eardley. He was speaking to us in the morning and also in the afternoon. So do please pray for him. Invite others. A great opportunity to have the gospel preached, the gospel proclaimed. So that is on next Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. But we got one or two other things during the week. For instance, we have free ice cream celebration for the Jubilee. So that's on Thursday between 12 and 3. You're all invited to come, enjoy the ice cream, and you're also invited to come and help out if you can. You can come a bit early and help Sarah to put the bunting up and getting it ready for the day. And also you might be able to help out serving the ice cream and talking to the local community. Opportunity to meet the local community here. So come on Thursday if you can between 12 and 3. And if you're helping out to setting up, please come early. 11 o'clock, Sarah, or a bit earlier? Just have a word with me. Have a word with Sarah. She'll guide you through that. Then we also have, because it's going to be beginning of the month soon, so we also have Pilgrim Bible Notes. So if you take Bible notes, and very useful guide, read the scriptures. Most important, read the scriptures. And then these are notes to help you to understand what you've just read. So please use them if that's what you use, or other thing you might be using to help you in that one. But we also, in June, we shall be moving on to a new book as a reading the Bible together, and that's going to be looking at the book of Numbers. So we're going to read that book through together. That is in June. Paul has kindly put together the church address list, that is the contact information for regular attenders and church families. So these are available on the table just where the books are on the left-hand side as you go out. Please take your copy. And also enclosed with that is prayer diary for the 2022 and 23. Please take that and use it as a guide to pray. And it's encouraging that we are able to do that. So you'll be able to realize how many organization and people we are involved in as a church. So please take one and use it for prayer at that time. And then also on the 11th of June, we have a Churches Day at Brockington College, and the speaker going to be Steve Palfreyman. And again, following Jesus in an alien world, when you look at the society in which we live, we feel like aliens, don't we? And how we follow Jesus in that sort of world. So that'll be worth going to. And also, could you pray, please, for Hannah Gilbert, who's being baptized on the same day. So remember her in your prayer, remember the Gilbert family, remember that she belongs to the Lord, and it's the church's family she really belongs to. So do please pray for Hannah Gilbert for the 11th. And finally, I hope I haven't missed anything out. Yes, I have. There is men's curry evening on the 14th of June. So men, do take invitation with you and use it to invite others. And would you also please put the people who are coming, not the name, just the numbers, so people who are organizing know how many are coming. I think you would have noticed, or we certainly noticed when we were coming here this afternoon, there's quite a few bunting up and Union Jacks in people's windows, and they are flying. I think something special is happening this week. That is Queen's Jubilee, Queen's Platinum Jubilee, and in the coming weekend. And in a sense, our ice cream event is related to that. So we have a track, and that is information about the Queen and her faith and what she said in her broadcast. So very useful to give it out to people. And there are some on the table as you go out. Read it, give it away, and please use it this week to speak to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are these things which you can use it, and also use it to pray for your neighbors and your friends and your husband and your wife, and use it for all these opportunities for that. Let's come to God in prayer. Lord, we've been singing about that you are God who listens to our prayer. And we know that you do. We have seen so many answered prayers in our own personal lives as well in the life of the church. As we think about the Queen's Platinum Jubilee this year, we thank you for our faith. We thank you that she's a believer. We thank you that she is following your pattern and has followed it over the last 70 years. We thank you for her and her stability she brings to the nation. And we ask you to bless her, encourage her. May she live for a long time and have a good influence on our nation. Lord, we do pray for our nation. We do pray for the Prime Minister and the government, and also the leader of the opposition and the opposition party as well. We pray, Lord, that you will grant them wisdom, grant them the desire, Lord, to follow you. As we look at their lives, as what's happened over the last couple of years, and it caused us to mistrust and not believe. Lord, we pray that you will change the hearts of our politicians, that they would want to follow you, that they will recognize that you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We ask that they might turn to you, find forgiveness, find faith, and find favor with you. We commit them to you, Lord. We pray also, Lord, for the world in which we live. And we think about the war, particularly the war in Ukraine. And we've seen, sadly, so many people die. And die without faith, without Christ, without hearing his message. Oh, dear God, we commit their relative to you, the family to you who have lost their loved ones. And we ask, Lord, that you will comfort them and be with them. We pray, Father, for those who've been injured and those who are fearful, those who have no homes to go to, those who have sought refuge in different countries, including this one. And we pray that you be with them. Help them to settle. Help them to look to you for help. Look to you for strength and look to you, we pray. We ask you will turn them to you. We pray, Father, for us as a nation, that we might be more willing, that we might be able to take on people and help them in those who are in dire trouble. We thank you, you've blessed this nation over the past over many years. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless this nation and encourage them. We pray, Father, for some of the events which you've been thinking about, the ice cream event on Thursday. And we also pray for the gospel opportunities next Sunday morning and afternoon service. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with our brothers and sisters as their witness regarding that. We pray, Father, for the leaflets and the tracts regarding the Platinum Jubilee celebration. And again, we pray, Lord, that it'll be used to speak to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that it might be used for your glory and honor. We commit that to you. Lord, we are thankful that you give us those things which are good for us. And we are grateful for those things too. We thank you for our food, our clothes, our homes. We thank you for our friends. We thank you for our families. We thank you, Lord, for the scriptures we have. And we are able to read it freely. Thank you for the opportunity to meet together. And thank you again that we are able to hear your word preached and taught. We want to thank you for fellowship of believers. Thank you again for gifting the church. Thank you for the message this morning. And that you are a great God and tasks might be great. We thank you. We can come to you. We might feel small, but our God is great. And we thank you that in our weakness, we can rely on your strength and power. Lord, we come again that you help us to understand your word this afternoon. Help us as we read it and help us as we listen to it. And we ask that we might do it for your honor and for your glory. Give our hearts which are open to receive your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read God's word. If you've got a Bible, please turn to 1 Samuel. And chapter 1 to start with, the first three verses of chapter 1. And then first 11 verses of chapter 2. So if you've got a Bible, turn to that, please. 1 Samuel chapter 1, first three verses. There was a certain man, Ramathaim Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Eluhi, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephraite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other one, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Then please turn to chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of mighty are broken, but the terrible, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed." Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy ministered to the Lord in the presence of Eli, the priest. May the Lord help us to understand his word. Well, we're going to sing again, and this time it's from Christian hymns, and it's hymn number 318. Spirit of faith, come down, reveal the things of God, and make to us the Godhead known, and witness with the blood. 'Tis thine the blood to apply, and give us eyes to see. It for guilty sinner dies, has surely died for me. 318.
Thank you.
We're going to be, as you know, we're following a series and looking at the women, the ladies, in the scriptures, what the Bible teaches us through their lives. And we have a lot to learn as we look at their lives. And I give you three guesses who we're going to look at this afternoon. Because we're going to look at life of Hannah, or part of life of Hannah. And it's very interesting to read 1 Samuel. I haven't read the whole of that chapter, as you know, but very interesting to read, and it's well worth you when you go home to have another read at that chapter, and also chapter 2 as well, and indeed the whole of the scriptures there. But I'm trying to get out the setting. When did it take place? When was Hannah around? And what was going on politically at that time? Well, politically, nation Israel was not in a very good place. And it had no real leadership at this historical instance take place at the time of Judges. And you know, there was quite a difficult time for God's people during that time. And really, there was no political leadership. And it's, dare I say, it's very much similar to our day, where there is no moral leadership in our country, whichever way you look, politically, socially, in whatever way you look. Judges 17:6, verse 6 says this: in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. I think that was a judgment Judges 17:6, and it's repeated again in Book of Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In other words, everyone did what they thought was right, and they have their own standard. They didn't follow anyone else. They didn't follow the God. They didn't follow the scriptures. They did not follow what was there in God's word. So everybody thought it was okay to do what you like. Isn't that very much like our day today? That we can say that everybody think it's okay. The priest at Shiloh at that time was Eli, and we read that, and Eli had two sons, and when we read here that their behavior was deplorable, there's no other word for it. When you look at the scripture and you see that how badly they behaved in God's house, the way they received the offering, the way they related to other people, they were greedy and showed deplorable behavior. And Eli was a priest. And you know what? He did nothing about it. He just let it carry on. And he took no notice. And he knew that his son's behavior was bad. But he took no action. So he stand guilty as well, because he was showing no leadership politically, religiously, and showing no leadership in his own home. So he was really not so good at that time. We're going to look at Hannah in the two or three headings. We're going to look at Hannah's predicament. Then we're going to look at Hannah's prayer. Then we're going to see how God answered Hannah's prayer. So we're going to first look at Hannah's predicament. We are told that Elkanah had two wives. Well, that's a big mistake, isn't it? I mean, having two wives, big mistake. And Peninnah, who had children, but Hannah didn't have any children. Actually, was desperate to have children. She wanted children. I think there are people certainly people who've been here, who were desperate to have children. They couldn't have children. And it's very hard for man and his wife to go through such an experience and to accept that they're not going to be able to have children. But it was even harder in the time during Hannah's time, because the community thought that God had withheld the children for a particular reason. They thought it was God's judgment upon Hannah that's why she could not have children. So she was looked down by the society, she was looked on by the community, and she was also taunted by Peninnah. That was hard, wasn't it? That she had to go through. And there was this belief that her barrenness was a result of particular action or particular disapproval by God of her. And, you know, it's not far from the truth what happens in certain parts of the world even today. The women are expected to bear children. If they don't, they are divorced or got rid of one way or another. And it's hard, and particularly the boys are very much favored. Yeah, little boys, when they're born, very much favored. And the girls are not thought of. I'm sure you've seen the situation and heard of the situation in India where abortions are being carried out, because the woman was carrying a girl rather than a boy. Okay, so that's very much relevant to what we're looking at here. And so, as well as her own suffering and desperation to have a child, she was discarded and disapproved by the community. She was taunted and, shall I say, even bullied by her, by the other wife, Peninnah. But there is no record in the scripture that Hannah responded toward Peninnah or any of the community in a very negative way. You know, she didn't respond, she didn't had a burst out, she didn't swore, she didn't got angry, you know, but she kept all these things and managed all the criticism and the difficulty she was going through within herself. And she was like that. She didn't seek revenge in any way. She didn't do any nasty thing to Peninnah. She didn't disobey her husband. She didn't do any of the wrong things. And she knew, and she left it all in God's hand, didn't she? She didn't do anything herself. So Romans 12, verse 19 says this: Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So what does Hannah do? How does she respond to that sort of situation? She prays. She prays, doesn't she? She's giving her concern to God. She prays for help and not for retribution. And when she prayed to God, she pointed to God's particular character, and she calls him, and I think it's in verse 3 of chapter, where she calls him the Lord of hosts. She said that you are the Lord of armies, the armies of heaven. So nothing is impossible. No one can stand in your way. You can achieve whatever you will. Your ways is perfect because you are the Lord of hosts. He is, we were reminded this morning, he is the great I am. And she recognized that. And she knew prayer was important. She prayed at home. She prayed when she went to worship at Shiloh as well. We read that in the chapters 1 and 2. And it's good, you know, to share our problems and concern with others. And it's good to share that they're able to help and support. We were reminded this morning, comforting those who are going through difficult times. But very important, essential, that you pray to God. And prayer is, as somebody said, is Christian's vital breath. And this is what Hannah does. She goes to God, she prays. And she doesn't pray very loud. She whispers in her mouth, through her lips. And even Eli think, this woman, she's drunk. And she's really, you know, she's not worth it. And tells her off. And she obviously shared her concern and worry with her husband. But most importantly, she went and poured out her heart to the Lord. I wonder if you have done that. If you got into a situation, do you find no other human solution and you desperate to get it sorted out? Well, this is what Hannah did. Hannah's situation was very similar. As she poured her heart to the Lord, this is what we read in the scripture. She was misunderstood by Eli, who thought she was a drunk. And when he realized that Hannah was a sincere woman who had poured her heart to God, he sent her away with his blessing. This is how we should pray, should we not? That we should be praying to God and pouring out our heart before God. You're going through a difficult time. You might be. You might go have a great disappointment. You might struggling with particular issues. Home life, work life, even church life can be difficult sometimes, can't it? But pour it out to God. You know, pour it out to God and let him resolve it for you. And we read in verse 18 of first chapter, and she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went on her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So we see that she was obviously sad. Her face was showing the difficulty she was going through. But when she prayed and she went and she ate, and her face was changed. She realized, you know, at that very moment, that God had answered her prayers. I think you find that sometimes, don't you? When you pray to God, and you know in your own heart that God has answered. God has listened to your prayers. And Hannah then took nourishment, and her facial expression was changed. She was no longer a sad woman. And we need to follow Hannah's example. We are told by the Lord Jesus Christ to pray. We are told by the Lord Jesus Christ to carry on praying, to persist in our prayers. You remember, well, you could turn to in Luke chapter 11, we're going to read verse 5 to 9, and this is what he said, this is what Jesus is speaking at that moment. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, my friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. So I don't know what concern you have. I don't know what need you have. Is it that you have a family member who's not a believer, and you want to pray for his or her salvation? You have grandchildren who are not believers. You have your children who are not believers. You have difficulties at work. Carry on praying. Don't give up. This is what God is saying. This is Hannah did. It wasn't Hannah went first, shared, she prayed and it got answered. She prayed. She went to the temple at Shiloh several times, several years. And God answered her prayers. So we need to carry on praying. But when she prayed this time, when Eli said, go in peace, and she knew her prayer was answered. And verse 19 and 20 says this of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Wonderfully, the Lord answered Hannah's prayer. And sometimes we can hear God answering our prayers. And we are very thankful, and we should be. But sometimes when we pray, we make promise to God, don't we? Sometimes there are some people who make vows to God. This is what Hannah did. Hannah made promise to God that she will give him back to him. But Hannah had every intention of keeping that promise to God. And how are we for keeping the promises we have made to God and also made to others before God? Let me give you a couple of examples. Have you ever met somebody and say, I know you're going through a difficult situation. I'll pray for you. Then do you pray? Or is it just a word of comfort and encouragement for that person? That's true, that would have been. But have you prayed for that person? Have you prayed for somebody who's going out to the mission field? Somebody going to proclaim the gospel, or people, not just the mission field, but preaching locally in the church and also outside the church, on the street, park life, and in Leicester and Kettering and Cambridge and all these places, and London. Paul's going to London in a week or two's time. Week on Sunday, is that? Yeah. And it's no good saying to Paul, we will pray for you, and then not keeping our promise before God. So we can make promises. We need to keep our promises. And do you know, she loved her son. She brought him up. She fed him. She breastfed him and kept him. And he was growing up. And she weaned him. And big day, she realized that she made a promise to God. And she got to keep that promise. And this is what Hannah did. And verses 24 to 28 of the first chapter. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now, I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Here we are. She is fulfilling her promise. And we need to fulfill our promise to each other. We made a promise to each other, did we not? When we got married or something like this. Those promises were to each other, but before God. Have we kept and are we keeping those promises we made? Then, as this was her predicament, that she was barren, she couldn't have any children. But here we see that God is answering prayer. What is, then secondly, what is Hannah's prayer? And we turn to mainly to chapter 2, where we got Hannah's song. Is in response to the answered prayer. How does she respond to God answering her prayers? And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemy because I rejoice in your salvation." What a wonderful way to start this song. You know, we have a marriage song in the New Testament, and the beginning of the scriptures, here we have Hannah's song. And if you notice, there are three word "my" occurs in these verses: my heart, my strength, and my mouth. And you have that in verse 1 and 2. First of all, she said, "My heart exults in the Lord." My heart. It is, as you know, the heart is the very center of our being. It is really what we are. You know, the world sees us, the external appearance, how tall, how big, how wide, and how strong we are. That is not how God looks at you and God looks at me. He sees me as I am. The true we are. It includes our affection, our wills, our minds, are the very center of our being. And Hannah wants the whole of our being to be involved in exalting God. God has heard our prayer, and she now wants the whole of her being to be exalting God. So how are we, as we worship God this afternoon? Are we fully engaged with our hearts, with our minds, with our wills to what God is saying? How can she praise like this? She had been praying for a child, and now she leaves him with a stranger. Here he is, left that boy with Eli, who couldn't even keep his own house in order. She leaves him there, but she still rejoices in the Lord. Her heart is exulting in the Lord. Then she says, "My strength." And she says, "My strength. My horn is exalted, or my strength is in the Lord." And Hannah also realized her strength comes from the Lord. Horn in the scripture, as is in AV, refers to indication of strength and power and all that is needed. And we live in a society which relies on personal strength and personal achievements, and that's how the world looks at us. And when you speak to people, what do they see? What's your name and what's your job and what you're doing? So basically, that you're judged by your status and the job you hold. But for Christian and for Hannah, our strength lies in the Lord. That's where we get our strength and the ability from. She relies on God. She realizes God is the one she can rely on. Psalmist David was like this. He realized his strength also lies in the Lord. Psalm 18:2. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Our strength and our horn lies in the Lord. My faithfulness and steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Psalm 89 and verse 24. Then Psalm 118 and verse 27 says this, he has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. So Hannah realized her strength comes from the Lord. Isn't it what Josh was saying this morning? That when we are weak, God's strength is made known. We had that this morning. And that we can rely on God's power and God's strength and God's ability. And that is an example. Hannah is an example what has happened, that we rely on God's strength. And she relied on God's strength as he delivered her from her troubles. Then she talked about my rejoicing. Hannah is also rejoicing in the salvation God has provided for her. What a great salvation we have received as believers in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, when you look at it, we realize that each one of us have sinned. We fall short of what God expects from us and wanted from us. And we have behaved badly, terribly. We lived in sin. We are far away from God. We are separated from God. And we behaved contrary to God's law and God's standards. You know, that is what was our state. No one can escape the God's righteous judgment. And I mean, if the judgment came to us, we'd be condemned for eternity. Not just while we're here on this life, not while we, shall I say, some churches believe in purgatory, and not while we try to get better during that time. You have no more time than while you are here on this earth. It is now is the time of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. And Hannah realized that she got great salvation from the Lord. And so should we. And we're told, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God sent his very own son into the world to be your savior? Do you know that God is the one who can give you eternal life? Because what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do, and he did. He came, God sent his son into the world to demonstrate his love for you. And we, you know, realize that God really loves us. If one thing we can take away from the message is that God loves you. It's a simple statement, but remember, God does love you. And thank God for his great love by which he has loved you. Do you know, sometimes you love other people while they're being good, while they're being kind, while they're being generous, while they behave well. And then when things go wrong, they drift away, or you drift away from them. But God is not like that. His love is for now and for eternity. He loves you to that extent. He doesn't love you because of your good works. He doesn't love you because you behave yourself. He doesn't love you because you give a lot of money to charities. He doesn't love you because you're doing all the good things and the right things. Reality is, there's nothing in you and me that attracts God's love. God loves you, and God loves me because he does, because he is love. And you know what we would have been. And Paul writing to the Ephesians says this, and you were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying of the desire of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love by which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raises us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2. What a God we have. What a God we have. Do you know one of my favorite hymns? To God be the glory. Wonderful hymn, isn't it? Great things he has done. And verse 2 goes like this. O perfect redemption, the purchase of God, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus forgiveness receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. O come to the Father through Jesus as the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. What a great salvation we have. O come to the Father, I plead with you, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory for the great things he hath done. So she says about the great salvation. Then she talks about in verse 2 of 1 Samuel 2, she talks about my God. My God. She said, there is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. What she's saying, the God of the Scripture, God whom she prays to, God whom she comes to, is unique. And, you know, some people say to me, why don't we do things with some of the other churches or particularly with other faiths? Because they all lead in the same way. Well, there is none holy like our Lord. There is none beside him. There is no rock like the Lord our God. And we cannot work with other faiths. They try to worship things carved out of idols. And you cannot compare our God with idol and put in par with those things. And in a sense, what Hannah says here, we read from Isaiah, don't we, in Isaiah 40. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol, a craftsman casts it, and goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. If you got time at home again, read verses 20 to 31, and you'll see that you cannot worship the true God and have idols in your home or worship idols anywhere else. What good is an idol sitting on your fireplace? Our God sits above the framework of the universe, whose dimension no one knows, nobody can measure, no one knows how vast the universe is. But he's there. We were reminded last week, were we not, that God is there. And people to God are like grasshoppers. He brings great leaders, nothing. And God Do you think God is powerless? No. He makes the rulers nothing. He is our God. So what answer Hannah receives? Let's briefly go through that. And Hannah's song lead to further understanding of God's character. Let me give you something to hang things on. Verse 3 of this chapter, that we have God who's God of knowledge. He knows all about what is happening in the world and especially in your life. There is nothing he does not know. There's nothing he doesn't understand. There's nothing he doesn't know about you. He knows your aches and your pains. You know, he knows that. He knows your disappointments. He knows how you feel when you get up in the morning. He knows all the struggle you're having. He knows everything about you. There is not a bit he doesn't know. He's the one who made us, and he knows all about us. He's a God of knowledge. He's also the God of judgment. Look at verse 3 and verse 10. And let me read to you. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed. He will judge. And he will judge. There will be final judgment. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we shall all have to give an account. And our account will be the Lord Jesus. We are covered in his righteousness. We are clean, we are covered. But if you haven't got that covering, you will give an account of your life. And it won't be very pleasant. And you will be lost for eternity. How sad and disappointing that is. Then look at verse 8. And he's the one who cares for the poor and for the needy. So whatever your financial situation during this cost of living crisis, when the fuel prices are rocketing up, when the food prices are going up, when everything around you, when you want to buy, you cannot afford, he can turn your situation upside down. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He makes people rich who were bankrupt. Look at Hannah, what he did for Hannah. And God is able to do this. Then also in verse 9, that he is the protector of his people. He protects them. Our security does not lie in the number of nuclear bombs our nation holds, or forces, or the size of the army. It does not rest in our own bank balances. It lies in our God. He's our protector. He's our shield. He's our great God. He's our rock. And there is none like him. Isn't that a wonderful God we have? He cares for you. He protects you. He loves you. He provides for you. And Hannah found that out. And I think there are many believers here. They can testify similar things. They can testify to God's provision, God's protection, God's love. There are many who will be. And we praise God that God hasn't stopped when he answered David's prayer. He hasn't stopped when he answered Hannah's prayer. He hasn't stopped people who prayed in the 18th century in great revival. He hasn't stopped answering our prayers. How important then it is for us to pray to God, persist with God, and God will answer according to his will and his purposes. All we do is to pray and bring it to him, and to his name will be the glory. Amen. We're going to have a closing hymn. And it's 572. Dear Saviour, thou art mine, how sweet the thought to me, let to me repeat thy name, and lift my heart to thee, mine, I know thou art mine. Saviour, dear Saviour, I know thou art mine. It is to know, dear God, that you are our God. You're not just the God of the past. You are our God of the present. And you are the great I am. That you are the ever-living God. And you always will be. We thank you that we can draw comfort from your word. No matter what is facing, what we are faced with tomorrow. That you are going to be with us. And your present will be an assurance for ourselves. And we thank you for the way you continue to love us. So Lord, we ask you will go with us now and give us that peace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.